Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Swing by Wawa, get your caffeine, dump it in your Yeti, whatever you do, like Dawn and I and Greg, we run down to the kitchen every break and refuel. That's how we're able to go as hard as we do for 4 hours a day, and for Dawn's case, 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
6 hours, that's right.
Yeah, we'll be there all day from start of the show at 6 to the end of Dom's show at 3.
There you go. All right, cut sheet coming up 7:45 this morning. Lots of goodies lined up for the cut sheet. Also, just about 2 hours from now, we'll deviate, take a little detour away from, you know, the Trump stuff, the California wildfire stuff. We're going to get to Zuckerberg and Meta and censorship. We'll talk a little football with our buddy Harry Mays. Eagles with a big win yesterday. Look at the NFL playoffs. Also, kind of touch on James Franklin after that Penn State debacle. And, of course, the Irish coming up a week from tonight in the national championship. But before all of that, let's get to the news. Round number two, 7:06, the great Dawn Stensland.
We are sponsored in Kale and Company News Live on this Monday morning, January 13th. We are sponsored by Meineke. So quite a surprise pivot for the 76ers, the team striking a deal reportedly with Comcast Spectacor to remain in the South Philadelphia Sports Complex. After more than 2 years of very heated debate, we just had over the winter months a lot of heated debate and time spent in City Hall with City Council debating this over moving to a potential new arena on East Market Street. And so now we're hearing that the powerful Building and Construction Trades Council that's representing what not quite three dozen, but at least 30 different unions. They say the new deal involves the Sixers and Comcast Spectacor, which of course owns the Flyers and the Wells Fargo Center, working together to build an arena in South Philadelphia.
So I forgot to ask you this in the first hour of the news. Is this a loss for Sherelle Parker? Because I would assume that if this would have happened, this would go down as one of the highlights of her tenure.
I think that's why she was excited about it. And so that's really the billion-dollar question that I have, because they had all of these, you know, they had all these plans that they said would invest in Philadelphia and Market East and revive the entire area.
Yeah.
And there were even those from City Council who said, well, even though sadly, the Macy's is leaving, you know, right in the shadow of obviously City Hall and the Wanamaker Building. Macy's has announced that by March they're leaving, but we have this new proposal that is going to infuse all this money and business and restaurants and so on and so forth and shops. So what does that mean?
Right.
For what does that mean for the Market East project? I know Mayor Sherelle Parker announced that after strongly supporting the arena project, she's expected to hold, they've announced this news conference 11 a.m. this morning. And so I think it was a defining moment of Sherelle Parker's first year in office. So the question is she working now to still try to make sure that some of the promises that were made are kept as far as Market East? Because the truth is, you know, I know that they did buy some buildings along Market East.
Yeah.
So are they just going to, what happens there?
Boy, so in a 72-hour stretch, Macy's, no more in the Wanamaker Building, and you don't get the arena.
And there were protests. I mean, obviously those advocates in Chinatown, they're saying that they're relieved, they're happy. And so, you know, we'll see what happens at 11 o'clock today, whether or not she'll say that this they're still going to go through with revitalizing Market East. Mm-hmm. So do they still have some of that money? Where does the money go?
Right.
That's my question.
Yeah.
We have a lot of questions about that. And obviously, the mayor will speak out about it. And I have no doubt that she'll try to pivot, too, and that she's trying to negotiate as we speak when this thing came out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out more. Obviously, we're talking, and it's not a really, it was under sports news, but I don't think the Sixers arena is necessarily sports news. It's business news.
Yes.
It's money news for Philadelphia.
Yep.
We did talk earlier about Eagles beating the Packers 22-10. And so we do have, you know, we're looking at that injury report. But Jalen Hurts looked fine to me. He didn't seem, it seems like he's over the concussion.
Yeah, he was physically fine. Yeah. I wouldn't say he played fine.
Yeah. I mean, that game last night was a battle of defense.
I know. Yeah, it was.
It really was. I mean, aside from the opening drive where the Packers coughed up the ball right away.
Oh, that kid got popped.
The Eagles scored. it was a kind of it was kind of a dull game.
But I'll tell you what though, the Packers were dropping like flies.
They were,
yeah, and they lost two offensive linemen, three receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
And we had injuries too. N'Kobe Dean got hurt. Yes. Darius Slay.
Yeah, he left. Allegedly, he left last night on crutches.
Oh boy,
that's not good.
No. Not good.
Nope.
So we will find out tonight with is it Commanders and Vikings tonight?
It's the Vikings.
Why do I have Commanders?
Rams.
Vikings, Rams. Yeah.
Commanders won last night.
Commanders won.
Because the Commanders won, they fight. They play Detroit.
Their reward is getting smoked by the Lions next week.
Yeah.
So we play the early game, right?
Yes.
3 o'clock.
3 p.m.
Yes. And we'll be either one. Yeah, I don't care if it's Minnesota or L.A. Guaranteed.
That we win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm riding this Birds train. I feel good.
All the way to the Super Bowl?
I told you like six weeks ago. Yeah, I said they're going to go in and beat Detroit, too. Now, they're not going to smoke Detroit. It's going to be a hell of a game, but yeah.
Okay. So we do have these four Philadelphia police officers. They're hospitalized. They're injured. Their conditions are reported. They're reported in stable condition, but these are very serious injuries with these four officers. This happened over the weekend with, yet again, another report of one of these car meetups, as they call it. And these are thugs in vehicles. And we now know some of the vehicles were stolen with different plates put on the vehicles. But this started along City Ave on the Philadelphia side, right in front of the Target that is on Monument Road there. And so...
You know, I've been to that Target when I used to work over at One Bala.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how 50 cars meet up in that spot.
Parking lot.
Yeah, it's not overly big. If I'm recalling it correctly,
it's a pretty big parking
lot. Is it?
It's right across. In other words, it's
catty corner to TGI Fridays, right?
Yeah, it's on the same side as like 6ABC, and then NBC 10 is across on the you know, Philadelphia, on the Montgomery County side.
Was this during business hours?
No, this happened. This happened over the weekend. I think it happened actually Saturday night into Sunday morning overnight.
So they were
those
closed.
Overnight hours.
Okay.
And then the investigation. So what happens here is that the police show up, break it up. A bunch of the cars then flee. And they, I think they realized at some point some of these were stolen vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So now that this leads the crime scene, if you will, to Broad and Tioga in North Philadelphia. And this is where actually it turns violent, because some of these cars trying to evade police end up either speeding directly toward the responding officers. It ends up in multiple crashes. Mm-hmm. And that's how these four officers suffered very serious injuries.
Yep.
They're listed four officers, stable condition, hospitalized.
For those that are doing the game of chicken right into the direction of oncoming police, and those police officers, like you said, get injured, stable condition, thank God, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Attempted murder.
Yeah.
Charges, right?
Yep.
Aggravated assault. So they have four people in custody under arrest, and they were able to recover at least one of the stolen vehicles, a red Camaro, And the officer is now releasing this morning that they changed the plates at least twice since they had, because everything's on video nowadays, you know, and captured by either the body cam or the police vehicle cam or doorbell cameras, so they can confirm that these individuals, you know, these some of these cars, they're going through them right now, but some of these vehicles that were in these car meetups were, these are stolen vehicles. Were they carjacked? Were they stolen without the owner in it? All of these, you know, we have many questions.
Yep.
We'll continue to follow it for you, obviously. I do want to take you to a couple of stories. One of, I'll save this one, but we want to get to the story of a 125-year-old golden crown that was stolen from a statue of Mary inside a Philadelphia Catholic church. Philadelphia police are investigating this. It's St. John the Evangelist, Roman Catholic Church, South 13th Street in Center City, Philadelphia. Somebody over the weekend, somebody broke into the church. They smashed through, you know, precious stained glass windows, by the way, and then stole the golden crown from the head of the statue of Mary. So they've released the picture of this because presumably somebody is trying to sell this, or maybe even take it apart, melt it down, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it was made of jewelry and actual gems that were donated by parishioners following a fire way back in the early 1900s. And so police are putting the word out there, putting pictures of the crown, and asking that if you know, I don't have a reward yet. I suspect perhaps there will be, but they're working to find the burglar.
Gold and gems, 125 years old. That's got to be worth a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially with the price of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that going on. As far as the forecast, enjoy today. Yesterday and today feeling like a heat wave, if you will, because we, for the first time in 10 days, we broke the 40-degree mark yesterday.
It actually felt nice.
It did.
Yeah.
So today we have, it's going to be sunny, 45 degrees, feeling good today. Enjoy it because we go back into the deep freeze, if you will, with 31 degrees as your high tomorrow. Won't feel like 31 because of the wind chill factor with a low of 22. So for the next few days starting tomorrow, that's the trend where the overnight lows are in the 20s and the highs just above 31 to 32 degrees. We will see a warm up for coming in Friday. So Friday and into the weekend, we'll see low 40s, more seasonable temperatures. But enjoy today.
It'll so 40s, like a heat wave. 40s for the Eagles next Sunday as well?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Lower 40s.
Actually, I tell you what, it didn't really matter, in my opinion, because the Packers are an outdoor cold weather team. But if we get, well, actually either team, Minnesota or Los Angeles are both dome teams. I hope that forecast changes. I want it to be like 17 degrees on Sunday.
Well, looks like snow in the forecast on Monday. So,
oh. Wait. Next Monday?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
No.
Oh, jeez.
What? They're doing a remote.
Who cares?
I don't want bad weather.
Why?
Because it could impact people's turnout.
Oh, stop.
Wait. It's
not going to affect me. I got a truck.
These people will turn out no matter what.
I hope so.
Is it snow for the inauguration?
Yes.
For in D.C.?
Down in D.C.?
Ooh. That's the question. I think that because they're saying that Sunday into Monday morning, some mixed precipitation. But next Monday, I think we're looking at it'll be too warm, won't it? Because next Monday we're in the 40s.
Yeah. I don't know.
But what will it be in D.C.? We don't want President Trump's hair. You know, to get all snowy and
I don't know. A nice little flurry on top of that coiffed hair with the hairspray.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just so he's sworn in, all right?
I'm more worried about Melania's hair. By the way, have you noticed it's lighter? She's dyed it.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah.
Started with the highlights.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Fascinating. You know? Fascinating.
Yeah. Might get her book as well. She's got a new book out. I'm going to gift that to you, Dawn, for Christmas next year.
With those who have the natural blonde highlights like Greg Stalker.
No, I'm not sure she can read it. Oh, Nick, that was uncalled for.
I know. The woman...
I got Greg to spit his coffee up, though.
The woman can conjugate verbs in 7 languages.
I still haven't figured out how to do that in English, and I've been here my whole life.
We are sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squealing noise or maybe a grinding noise, that's not good. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert techs are going to diagnose the problem. Find a location near you, Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live, second edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. We'll get to Zucker Schmuck coming up in about 10 minutes. But just to wrap up this segment, I do want to put a bow on the California stuff. More of a news-type item here. Phil, if you could, I want to have this ready. This is K1, and I'm going to give you this story because we talked a little bit. I think, Dawn, you had it a few different days late in the week last week with some of the looters that are going into some of these houses that might still have something of value in them. And I remember saying that that's got to be one of the, what type of low life do you have to be to loot basically buildings that are crisped to a rubble? Well, it actually gets worse because now, according to, this is the LA Daily News, we have homeless individuals, or at least one individual, singular, a homeless man with a flamethrower who gets busted on suspicion of arson near LA's Kenneth Fire. That is, I think, one of the five or six different pockets of wildfire. As residents ultimately detain him, they write the following. A homeless man was tackled by brave onlookers who, they say, saw him using a flamethrower, I don't know, maybe he stole it from Opelka, to start blazes close to where one of the latest wildfires was ravaging Los Angeles. The unidentified suspect at the time of this publication, I think they've identified him since, was seen riding around Woodland Hills on a bicycle on Thursday afternoon, setting fire to several old Christmas trees and garbage cans at the same time as the Kenneth Fire started. Renata Grinspun told KTLA she was in her backyard when she heard a car screech to a stop and a man yelling. Neighbors say he was, quote, trying to start a fire, and they yelled, call 911. She saw the suspect holding a large propane tank or a flamethrower, which others described as a blowtorch, as he tried to torch debris on the street. Neighbors jumped into action and cornered the man as he tried to ride off, as caught in part of a video with one man yelling at him, put him down. Phil, let's roll this clip and let's see what we have here. And this is police right here who have apprehended the suspect.
I'm gonna dust this.
About five officers. Citizen surveillance video here.
Update, they got him.
So there you go. I would, now I know this is California, so they don't really believe in law and order. But so, I mean, I would actually argue this is worse than looting. All right? I mean, you're trying to add to the most destructive wildfire in modern history in California. You throw the book at this guy. You absolutely throw the book at this guy. And honestly, what's the number you gave us, Dawn? Was it 24, I believe? 24 is the latest number of casualties?
Yeah, it's 24 dead, but
it's really remarkable.
At least 16 people missing.
You would think with this level of destruction, hundreds of people? I mean, I don't even remember the fatality count in North Carolina. But, like, knock on wood, thank God that this, at least from a casualty standpoint, it's been very, very small, considering the large-scale nature of this that we talked about in the first hour.
I'm seeing reports on the YouTube chat that they let this guy go.
Did they let him go?
This is a guy, he's identified, just so you know his name, Mexican national Juan Manuel Sierra Leyva.
Yes.
And he is identified as somebody who is the homeless arson suspect.
Uh-huh.
They, I guess the Good Samaritan's neighbors held him. Then the police showed up.
Yeah, the quotes here say, we really banded together as a group. A few gentlemen surrounded him and got him on his knees. They got some zip ties, a rope, and were able to do a citizen's arrest. One witness told Fox 11, which I'm assuming is the Fox affiliate out in L.A., that the suspect was, quote, very focused on moving forward with what they described as being more like a blowtorch. So I don't know.
So they say he had a yellow blowtorch that he was walking around with it.
Just unbelievable. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Kale and Company, let's get to Meta and their makeover on the other side as Mark Zuckerberg with some comments that all but confirm what we suspected throughout the last 4 years, if you were on Facebook. And we'll do that next here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for years now. I just love the work they've done in my home. And you know by now, if I needed new windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. Until the end of this month, until the end of January, you can receive 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new door. And a new front entry door, oh my goodness, it can really change the look of your house, really give it a made-over look, if you will. If you have an upcoming, maybe a wedding, graduation taking place this year, I would take advantage of this fantastic promotion before it's too late. Who wouldn't want a gorgeous new door in all your photos? Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they carry a range of top brands to choose from, including Provia. That's what I have. They're going to work with you, and you can pick the perfect door for you. You can visit their showroom in Westchester, or they can just come to your house, make a house call. Whether you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, give them a call. You can text them. They're listening right now. They're like-minded. I appreciate they have supported me, certainly, for, what, 9 years at this point? 610-431-8898. Visit them online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, the name I trust. Don't forget to tell them Dawn sent.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
You.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Revelations from Mark Zuckerberg, who sat down with Joe Rogan for a couple of hours on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. And there's a couple of stories that we'll touch on, but nothing really bigger than the censorship and the suppression of your speech on the platforms that Meta owns or did own during the pandemic, which would include Facebook first and foremost, and of course Instagram as well. But I want to play you this. Phil, this is clip 4 as Mark Zuckerberg, fresh off of a beautiful perm where the curls are just flowing. Oh, here's Goldilocks talking about censorship and the Biden administration pressures.
These people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like scream at them and curse. And it's like these documents are, it's all kind of out there.
Oh, did you record any of those phone calls?
I don't think we, but I think.
I want to listen.
I mean, there are emails. the emails are published. It's all kind of out there. And they're like, and basically it just got to this point where we were like, no, we're not going to take down things that are true. That's ridiculous. They want us to take down this meme of Leonardo DiCaprio looking at a TV talking about how 10 years from now or something, you know, you're going to see an ad that says, okay, if you took a COVID vaccine, you're eligible, for this kind of payment, like this sort of like class action lawsuit type meme. And they're like, no, you have to take that down. And we just said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. We're not going to take down things that are true. And then at some point, it flipped a bit. I mean, Biden, when he gave some statement at some point, I don't know if it was a press conference or to some journalist, where he basically was like, these guys are killing people. And I don't know, then like all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating and coming after our company. It was brutal. It was brutal.
Wow.
I mean, think about that for a second. You are the president of the United States, your administration dealing with a pandemic, dealing with social justice riots, everything following January 6th, and you are trying to strong arm. Now, we can get into the nuance of this in a moment, but you are trying to strong arm a platform and tell them that they need to take down factually correct statements and jokes, humor, and satire. That is outrageous, and it just confirms what we've been talking about. But here's the thing. Is it a First Amendment violation? I would argue, and I said this in the past, I don't like the fact that I see censorship online, but if it's Twitter, if it's Facebook, whatever it is, it's a private company, they have the right to do so. It's not a First Amendment violation. Where it gets muddy and murky is where the government comes in and tells them to take it down. Then, to me, that should be a First Amendment violation because, as we know, the government cannot tell you what to say or not to say. Your First Amendment right. As a free speech absolutist, that is your right. And the government has no right to sit there and tell you what you should think, say, publish, write, tweet, video, go live on anything like that.
What's more egregious to me, at least, is that it is egregious that the Biden administration did this, but we knew they were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
What's more egregious to me is that Zuckerberg, who you could argue is a pretty powerful dude,
yes,
complied.
Yep, complied. And now the thing that drives me the absolutely most insane is the hypocrisy of it. Right, like. We're going to probably get into this tomorrow. I might do a big take on it. Like with J6, with J.D. Vance over the weekend,
yeah.
He is saying that if you, if you physically assaulted people, you shouldn't be pardoned, which I agree with. Like if you broke the law and you were not instigated, you were not entrapped by any undercover officer, well, then you should be dealt with. You can't be law and order only when it's on your side versus the other side. That's the peak definition of hypocrisy. Well, the same thing here applies with Zuckerberg. Like, so wait a minute. You're going to censor and suppress people during the Biden administration, and now that Trump is coming back, you're kissing his ring, you're bending the knee, and you're going to try to make it like Elon Musk and like X. Well, which one is it, dude? Because you're coming off like the biggest hypocrite of all time. I'll give him a shred of credit, a small granule of credit for at least doing better late than never, the old adage. But I'm not going back to Facebook. Now, granted, I was off of Facebook 12 years ago, so I have no interest in being on it to begin with. But
it's just convenient now that all of these guys like Zuckerberg, bent the knee.
Yeah.
And then now that it's safe to come out of hiding.
Yeah.
They all come out of hiding. And what's even more frustrating is just like have a principle. Have a stand, man. Like
have a backbone.
Like if you did it, stand by it. Yeah. And continue to stand by.
I'd almost have more respect for him if he doubled down.
But now he's looking to lose a bundle because of, the new administration coming in. So now all of a sudden it's like, we went too far. It's like, screw you, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, because I don't want to be wrong on this. I think there was a point, probably within the last year, Facebook was still the most trafficked social media platform.
He said in that interview that they can get like 2.3 billion people or something like that. Like
okay.
It's an insane number of people that use that platform.
Because I was wondering if maybe he's starting to see a decline in traffic and this is merely a business decision. I didn't know if the new thing. I mean, TikTok. We talk about TikTok all the time. I didn't know maybe if TikTok had surpassed Facebook.
I think it has.
Has it really?
I think it has. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that could go away this week.
Well, that's true. That's on the docket as well. And then you go from the censorship revelations that he shares. Now Meta is rolling back their DEI programs in the latest bow to Trump. Axios published this Friday afternoon, January 10th, where they are terminating their major DEI programs effective immediately, including for hiring, training, and picking suppliers, according to an internal employee memo that was obtained by Axios. And also, the New York Times is reporting that Mark Zuckerberg and Meta are now removing tampons from men's bathrooms at Meta offices. Quote, that same day at Meta's Silicon Valley offices, the New York Times reports that Texas and New York facility managers were instructed to remove tampons from men's bathrooms, which the company had provided for non-binary and transgender employees who use the men's room and who may have required sanitary pads, two employees said. So I guess the question then becomes, Dawn, like, if let's just say J.D. Vance in 2028 loses to the Democrat, is Zuckerberg just going to go back to censorship? Is he going to restock the men's bathrooms with tampons because a liberal's in office?
Yes, because he's a weasel.
Well, my question, I believe, so part of this is that in the unfortunately named, what was it, you know, the Biden Inflation Reduction Act, which is so ironic and terrible of a name and opposite of a name, but weaved into the Biden administration were incentives, monetary incentives that these companies received. And so I think that what's happening is all these corporations realize the money is going away. They're going to change all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a piece of this. They probably, our tax dollars were probably helping to fund those tampons. That's all these DEI programs were taxpayer funded programs. And that's the bottom line on this thing. And it was all through the Biden administration. That's the insult to injury. Also, because in the courts, they were being challenged. And whenever they come up in the courts, they, as far as these DEI programs and government contractors and that sort of thing, they lose every time because they're discriminating. They're not choosing the best person for, let's say, a government bid. They're choosing somebody under the DEI. That's unconstitutional.
It's unbelievable. The memo from Meta in regards to canceling DEI is as follows. Hi, all. I wanted to share some changes we're making to our hiring, development, and procurement practices. Before getting into the details, there is some specific important background to lay out. The legal and policy landscape surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in the United States is changing. The Supreme Court of the United States has recently made decisions signaling a shift in how courts will approach DEI. It reaffirms longstanding principles that discrimination should not be tolerated or promoted on the basis of inherent characteristics. The term DEI has also become charged in part because it is understood by some as a practice that suggests preferential treatment of some groups over others. And that's the thing that's always ticked me off about the whole DEI mindset is, wait a minute, okay, I got it, right? Like, you know, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you know, there was discrimination. People didn't get jobs when they were qualified. You know, I always live by the adage of two wrongs don't make a right. So now you're quote, make good attempt is to discriminate against other people. You know, we talk about this all the time. It's just find the best people. And really, it's about identifying that talent. You as a manager, as a supervisor, as a CEO, one of the skill sets that you should have in that position is to be able to identify those who are potentially good for a posting that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why Stocker selected, you know, me to do mornings after Rich went there. Which, by the way, Greg Stocker, congratulations.
Oh, for what?
The top 20 brand manager.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Barrett News Media.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You identify talent. That's part of your job requirement.
Yeah.
You gave Dawn Stensland a show, right, as you became into office 3 years ago, right?
Absolutely.
4 years ago.
Yep.
3.5 years ago, whatever it was.
One of my first orders of business.
Yeah, there you go. What a novel concept. Identify talent. Did you wonder if Dawn, did you factor in Dawn's race, religion,
course,
or gender?
Of course.
Did you factor in her sexual orientation?
Of course.
Or did you say, okay, you know what, I think she has a lot to say, let's go attend to it. What do you say?
Huh. Well, I think she's sexy, so I think it's, I'm kidding. I bring it.
Oh, these DEI practices.
It was all about her appearance.
That's right.
And it's just all of these corporate, and it's the bandwagon effect, right? It started with one. I gave you the companies on, I think it was Friday.
Yeah.
Over 15 of them. And they're not like, it's not just, you know, conservative companies. I mean, it's Black & Decker. It's Harley-Davidson. It's McDonald's. It's Walmart. It's Nissan. It's Toyota. They're all jumping off the ship at this point.
Yep.
So...
Can I play one more from Zuckerberg since we're down this rabbit hole?
Well, they only talked for 3 hours.
Good God. It's painful listening to him talk, honestly.
Have you ever listened to any of his podcasts for 3 hours? I couldn't do it.
Rogan?
Yeah.
I listened to the Trump thing for most of it. He's had people on. Elon, I think I've listened to. When Bill Burr's on, I think I listened to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really... I mean, for me to carve out 3 hours... Oh. Of any sort of time that's not devoted to, you know, what we do here on a daily basis is next to impossible. Play cut 15 here on Zuckerberg on the this is just he expands a little bit more on the government trying to censor him when people would post stuff about COVID vaccines. You can roll it.
Administration when they were trying to roll out the vaccine program. And now, I'm generally, like, pretty pro rolling out vaccines. I think on balance, the vaccines are more positive than negative. But I think that while they're trying to push that program, they also tried to censor anyone who is basically arguing against it. And they pushed us super hard to take down things that were honestly were true, right? I mean, they basically pushed us and said, you know, anything that... says that vaccines might have side effects, you basically need to take down. And I was just like, well, we're not going to do that. Like, we're clearly not going to do that. I mean, that is kind of inarguably
who is,
true.
Who is they? Who's telling you to take down things that talk about vaccine side effects?
It was people in the Biden administration. I think it was, you know, I wasn't involved in those conversations directly, it was...
How difficult is that to not be involved in those conversations directly?
Yeah, what...
Fitness isn't just...
Why would he be involved? I mean, he's only the...
Yeah.
Owner of the company.
Yeah. You're talking about the biggest story, the biggest thing we're all living our lives in real time through... Mask mandates, business shutdowns, vaccine requirements. You're not involved? What so your supervisor brand manager's handling it? Yeah, somebody that makes 110 grand a year? Not you, Zuck? I don't believe that at all.
Well, if you're the biggity-big billionaire owner,
yeah,
you want to have separation, and that's to protect you, Zuckerberg, because that's why he had to say that. He had to say that to Joe Rogan. He had to say, well, I wasn't directly involved. Because you never want to be, as the biggity big, you never want to be there at the table because now you have some level of, you know, liability, if you will.
So he's not on the receiving end of an email, CC'd, blind copied?
No, I think that he, hopefully, if he's smart, somebody comes into him in person, reports with no record of it. If you're a smart boss... You're going to say, talk to whoever. But the question is, he's saying they're Biden officials. Well, were they FBI? Were they CIA? We want to know who were these individuals. He knows that answer, but he also knows he has to be. He's walking a little tight rope here. He's trying to cover his keister to say, hey, he's basically trying to say, hey, I was intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
I was intimidated by the full force of the United States government and the Biden administration and all these officials coming down on us. And I was fearful that they were going to jail us or hold us in contempt. That's his story. And he's sticking to it right now.
Oh,
and that's, by the way, that should never happen again. That should never be able to happen.
Of course not. It shouldn't even happen, even if the vaccines are 100% safe and effective. Even if there was a vaccine created for any issue, any physical ailment, any pandemic, any disease, even if it was 100% through tests, through trials, FDA approved, on down the list, even then you shouldn't be able to remove that. Marketplace of ideas, free speech. Let people determine what they you should never make a medical decision based off of what somebody posts on Facebook. Go talk to your doctor about it and then maybe talk to a second or a third doctor to get second and third opinions.
And by the way, if you think about an administration, my son was doing this research paper on Turkey. And you think about all of these other what we would say, oh, well, look at, they're going toward an authoritarian or fascist type of leadership because they censor the media. They tell them what they can and cannot report, or they skew the elections, or they do this and that. You know, not for nothing, but the Biden administration, according to Mark Zuckerberg, was acting a little fascist. Were they not?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this Hitler-esque? Mm-hmm. Isn't this Nazi-esque to try to control the media and the media narrative?
Yep.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's... You don't hear that anywhere.
No, you're right.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's continue on officially as we kick off a Monday edition at 7:49 of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by the Newtown Athletic Club, where we will be next Monday. That's right.
Will you be the first person there? Who will be the first person there? Who will beat us all there? Waiting in the parking lot, waiting in the wings. It's go time for your fitness at the Newtown Athletic Club, or the NAC, in Bucks County. The NAC offers a variety of family-friendly gym memberships to accommodate each stage of your life, from youth to active aging, young families to empty nesters. Schedule a visit. Go to NewtownAthletic.com. That's NewtownAthletic.com. Thank you, Newtown Athletic, for sponsoring the ever-important Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Don't forget, join us next Monday all day, but starting at 6 a.m. We will be live at the NAC for Inauguration Day.
Woo-hoo.
To hell with the storm, right?
Yeah.
Freedom Day.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on, Mother Nature.
Let me start with this. We mentioned this earlier. Phil, can you throw up the photo of A.J. Brown? Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. Reading. He was on the sideline reading, "Inner excellence, train your mind."
Yeah. Yeah.
During the game.
Yeah. I actually have an issue with this.
So apparently, he says he's done this all season long.
It's the first I've seen it.
He was asked about this in the locker room last night. This is what he said. Roll it.
It just, y'all just caught me that time. You know, I'm doing that every drive. You know, regardless of, like I said, if I score a touchdown or drop a pass, you know, it's somehow I refocus.
Is there a certain passage that you read from?
Yes, I always revert back to like the beginning of the book. It states if you can just have a clear mind, and let me see, what did it say? If you have a clear mind and remember that nothing else matters. Clear mind and clear consciousness, you know, nothing matters, negative or positive. You're willing to take risks, you know. And I go back to it, and it also says, if you're humble, you can't be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what happens, like in the game or whatever happens, you know, I'm just going to just stay free, you know, play free, you know, keep going, take risks, you know. So,
were you frustrated when you were reading the book?
No, I was not frustrated at all. I figured that's what y'all probably thought. I wasn't frustrated.
Why y'all always think I'd be frustrated?
Because that's how receivers act.
Yeah, I read the book. Yeah, I like to read. So.
He's reading on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, John Moxon had a book on the sidelines in Varsity Blues, and Kilmer blew his gasket right, when that happened. All right? Here's my problem with this. It's the passive aggressive. It's look at me. Mm-hmm. He had one catch for 10 yards. So he's not happy that Jalen Hurts did not have a good game and didn't get him the ball. And it's a passive-aggressive shot at the offense and his lack of involvement. And I've said this for 20 years as somebody that used to talk about sports. I can't stand diva wide receivers because a lot of them, and I'm going to put A.J. Brown in this category, they would rather have 10 catches for 180 yards, two scores in a loss, than one catch for 10 yards in a win. They want their cake and they want to eat it too.
You can't speak for him.
He's a champion.
He's freaking amazing.
He's not a champion. He's never won anything.
Stop.
And he should be grateful that he's here.
That's right.
Because when he was in Tennessee, his numbers weren't like this. It's this Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts that have made him into T.O.'s level of production.
100%.
He's amazing, and whatever he has to do, it was... I was looking up who... Because my question is, who gave you that book or who put that book on the radar? And so it was... I guess it was another player. So I was thinking, was this somebody in your past, an advisor? But it's his way of focusing on the game, and I think that... We don't talk enough about whether it's in business, but especially in sports, where it's a mental game. Even Tom Brady talked about that right in the beginning. Remember, he Brady talked about the fact that a lot of this is a mental game, and the fact that you had the Packers with that horrible Bears loss, and it's like it mentally drags them down, and they've got to shake that off. And so for all these, I think that's good that he's reading a book. He obviously has passages highlighted in yellow.
The psychology of sports is real. But it's interesting that he's got that book after that soundbite from 6 weeks ago. Where remember he was asked, hey, what needs to improve on the offense? The passing.
Yep.
Who does the passing? Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Who's on the receiving end of the passing? A.J. Brown.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I think it's not for nothing here, but...
I just want to call. I want to cause drama.
He's trying. He has a book that he has. Clearly, he highlighted in yellow. He has his favorite passages. I think that's fantastic, and I think that's positive energy. That he's trying to keep his mental game in a really positive energy place. And so, I think we read too much into it. And for whatever reason, in Philadelphia, we all as fans need to get our head out of the negative energy gutter. It's amazing to me that, think about it, we lost, we did not lose, we won, we prevailed.
Oh, yeah.
And we're probably going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And yet, Philadelphia fans, what are you doing this morning?
You have to, a few more games you have to win before you we're gonna
win
to the Super Bowl.
Okay. What is it that you have to have the heart and the mind of a champion?
Yeah.
And you have to get that little, off your left shoulder, that little loser voice, that little devil that's going, you're a loser. Get that off your shoulder. That's what A.J. Brown's doing. He's trying
that
to
is called stupid.
Thank you, Merrill.
But think about it. Sometimes you'll turn on the our sister or brother station, and they're like, oh, and they're all critical. It's like, we won last night. Get it. Stop.
I feel for him.
I mean, you have to have something to talk about.
I know.
Hey, you got to get to the finish line each day at 10 a.m., Dawn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can't be at a station that kisses Trump's ass 24/7. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Even though he's the best.
Would Trump be reading a book if Melania did not get him the rock? 855-839-1210.
That's why I'm top. That's why I'm top 20, because I say things that other people are thinking.
By the way, Trump wrote the book.
What book?
What book?
He wrote the book.
The book A.J. Brown was reading?
He wrote no book.
No. He wrote. What did he? What art of the deal, baby?
Yeah, he wrote that. Speaking of bad leadership, Gavin Newsom was on Meet the Press. Let's go through a few. Let's start with cut 20 here. We talked last week about the Delta smelt, and I said earlier that Gavin Newsom said that everything Trump was saying about that is fake news. Let's roll cut 20 here.
Together. President-elect Trump has blamed you for this crisis. He called you incompetent. What's your response?
Well, I called for him to come out, take a look for himself. We want to do it in the spirit of an open hand, not a closed fist. He's the president-elect. I respect the office. We have a president of the United States that within 36 hours provided a major disaster declaration over a text. We had support from the president of the United States, Joe Biden, with 100% reimbursement. All the resources you could hope for or imagine. Constant communication. I'd like to extend that to the president-elect. I don't know what he's referring to when he talks about the Delta smelt and reservoirs. The reservoirs are completely full of the state reservoirs here in Southern California. That mis and disinformation, I don't think advantages or aids any of us. Responding to Donald Trump's insults, we would spend another month I'm very familiar with them. Every elected official that he disagrees with, very familiar with them.
We do know, though, from reporting here locally, that that one reservoir that served the Palisades was not full.
And that's exactly what triggered my desire to get the investigation to understand what was happening with that local reservoir. That was not a state system reservoir, which the president-elect was referring to as it relates to the Delta and somehow connecting the Delta smelt to this fire, which is inexcusable because it's inaccurate, also incomprehensible to anyone that understands water policy in the state.
All right, so first of all, the old phrase, whoever smelt it, dealt it.
I'm going to take that board and take that thing off of
Sorry.
The board.
That's the first thing that just went through.
Take that thing off of the board.
Jimmy Kelly, now. Get it out.
Now.
Get rid of it today. Or you're
whoever smelt it, smelt it. That's so, my favorite thing.
Secondly, why does Gavin Newsom always sound like he has laryngitis? Can you imagine him and Bobby Kennedy doing a podcast?
He's the worst politician with the hand gestures and this. That, yeah. Oh, God.
Right. Number three, I see a story from Vox with the headline 3 days ago. Why does Trump hate this tiny fish so much?
Yes.
But I guess my honest, to be serious for a moment, I was of the belief that the smelt fish story with the Native Americans that were requesting the preservation of it was, I thought I gave you the story from the LA Daily News last week. Is this not true, or is this a Trump creation, or is it true but not applicable to this story? That's where I'm kind of, I guess, in limbo here as to what specifically with the smelt fish is accurate versus not accurate, and how much of a factor was that? Because we do know that the reservoir stuff is true. 117 million gallons
yep.
off the grid.
Yep. I think, for one thing, what Newsom is trying to do is CYA. He's trying to cover himself and say the specific huge reservoir that we're talking about that would have been uphill from the Palisades is locally controlled. And Newsom is trying to separate himself from that empty, dry reservoir that should have been full. That's number one. Number two, I think the bigger story that if you listen to all of the Trump, you know, sound bites, if you will, for years, I mean, since we went back last week, we were finding all that audio from like 2017, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has talked for years about the fact that you have to have all of this management, not just about the fish, but in part, some of it has to do, yes, with environmental issues. But on the other hand, I think Trump is just alleging basic mismanagement that they took their eye off the ball. So mm-hmm. I think there's a bigger picture here. It's not just about the smelt fish.
So why bring it up if it's not bad? Like, why include that into the story if it's not true?
Because I think it is true. I think there are.
Well, according to Gavin Newsom, he says it's not. So, and according to another local official, they said it's not too. So I don't know.
With regard to the reservoir, Greg.
Yeah.
The smelt has nothing to do with the fact that the one reservoir that we've been talking about that was empty, that should not have been empty, that one, if you believe Schellenberger's investigation and the whistleblower, that one was empty because somebody had said that it needed a cover for whatever environmental reasons. The covering for it was somehow damaged, and they decided, well, we need to empty the whole thing because of the covering yeah. that was necessary. So that in and of itself has nothing to do with the smelt fish. That allows Gavin Newsom then to separate himself from that one empty reservoir. But what remains here is the overall question of overall management of the fact that they should have had a game plan for this, and also that their entire fire hydrant system is antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
never been updated. So the issue also there is that they had water pressure loss, not just because of the lack of the reservoir and the water, but it wasn't even designed from what firefighters locally mm-hmm. are telling me. They didn't even like redesign it or update it to make it
again,
so that,
these are all valid
right.
valid criticisms. Yeah. But so why bring the smelt fish in if it's not?
It was one because the smelt fish was just one thing that Trump. I think we all, you know, because the Knicks, you know, he smelt it, dealt it. Like, I'm serious. I think that the fish thing just like caught on. But I think that if you listen to all the, like, Trump went on and on and on about this. If you want to play that, there's some sound bites that go on for like 12 minutes.
You just can't have an $840 million annual budget for, allocated to fire and water and then have this be the byproduct of it, right? I mean, you're talking about almost $1 billion a year. And in one stretch, and we gave you the size of this, right? Mm-hmm. This would be like wiping out Delaware County, is the Pacific Palisades and the other surrounding areas. And they had almost no containment in five or six different pockets, 48 hours in, right? Let's go on record here. Do we think, now, I mean, look, he might not be the nominee even if this fire didn't happen in 2028. Is this the end of Gavin Newsom's political career?
Yes, I think it is.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think it is.
No.
I do.
Because the only place he can go from here is up to the presidency. I mean, it's not like he's going to become the mayor of Los Angeles.
If I'm running against Gavin Newsom as a fellow Democrat, I'm airing that clip with Rachel, the mom, who says, "Can I see it?" And then you catch him red-handed lying to this mom whose child's school just burned down. And she's going, "Can I see?" And then he admits he just comes off as a smarmy, slick talking politician.
Oh, yeah.
You asked why he had to have that voice. I think he's trying to sort of come off like, remember Bill Clinton? "I feel your pain," and that and that kind of conversation.
So
like
Gavin
this.
Imitates Bill, and Shapiro imitates Barack.
Yeah, Shapiro wins that one.
Yeah,
I mean Shapiro as a governor is definitely thought of, I think, comes off as much more successful than a slick-talking Gavin Newsom.
Well, I tell you what, you know, 2 years from now, 2.5 years from now, when we get to the Democrat primaries, do you think the wildfires are off limits as far as Democrat primary debates?
No.
I mean, could you imagine Kamala destroying Gavin Newsom in 2027 over mismanagement to California people fighting for the Democrat nomination?
Newsom went on to ask, you talked about the lost water supply and the water pressure during the fires. He addressed that. This is cut 12, Phil, go. This is on a podcast.
You just sent a letter telling LA and LA County officials that you're directing the state to investigate the causes of lost water supply and water pressure during the fires. I believe there was also a large reservoir in Pacific Palisades, the San Ynez reservoir, that was closed for repairs during the fire. Local officials have said the demand for water was just too great to maintain the pressure in the hydrants, especially since aerial water support wasn't available immediately due to the high winds. Do you not believe that explanation?
No, it may be the absolute explanation, but there's so much mistrust and finger pointing. Let's just get the facts and let's get them out quickly. Let's stop the finger pointing. Let's just assess the truth. I'm not interested in who's to blame. I want to know what happened.
Well, I mean, here's what I would sit there and ask if I was hosting that podcast or if I was a media member from ABC7 in Los Angeles or any of these other affiliates on the network level locally. How is it that you want to talk about fire hydrants and water supplies and budgets and mismanagement of resources? Explain to me, because this is truly what I want to have answered. We always hear, I've heard this countless times in the last 2.5-3 years since I've been paying attention to Gavin Newsom speak, and he loves, especially when we were talking about high inflation at 9% and all the economic issues in this country following the pandemic, following Biden spending like a drunken sailor. California is the fifth biggest economy in the world. Well, then if you're the fifth biggest economy in the world and you're rich, you're wealthy, you always want to brag about how good your economy is, then why are you not more prepared and spending the money necessary? Because God knows Democrats love to burn through a budget and spend money. They're not fiscally conservative by any stretch. Then why is the fifth largest economy in the world not in a position to handle something that happens, not to this magnitude every year, but you're known for your wildfires? The same thing could be said about Florida with hurricane season. And you have no answers for anything. And by the way, you're the face of the state. So you're sitting there saying, well, let's get to the facts. I just want the facts. Shouldn't you know the facts? This is your state.
Yeah.
This is your state.
this guy is just such a slick talker, doesn't he? He talks such a good game. You go, oh, well, that makes sense. And he gets in there and that's why I'm calling for an investigation. This guy failed to lead.
Yep.
And that's just the bottom line here. When I look at this, and just even from a local, like you think about Philadelphia firefighters, New York firefighters, Chicago firefighters, Miami fire officials, people who've been raised in this environment, they will tell you that even locally, a battalion chief having quality leadership policies and then backed up by their local municipality, their mayor, their council, etc., that they will mitigate things like insurance losses. They will help mitigate all of that, because if you have firefighters who can do their jobs and put out fires quickly, then guess what? You don't lose your insurance, mm-hmm. which is what we're seeing, right? And so the management matters. The leadership matters. What we have here is a complete failure in California. And on top of it, with all the regulations, and that's really when Trump talked about the fish and the environmental causes, what he was saying was that they failed to balance this out. In other words, think about the devastation of these fires because they could not fight the fires. Now you know what real environmental loss looks like. Not just the critters killed, the whatever crud that's burning in the air that they're wearing masks not to breathe in. What a disaster this is. It's an environmental disaster, a human disaster, and this is because of the failure of Democrat policies. And that's what I believe is going to come out of true investigations.
And Gavin's making it about Trump, right? The Democrats, oh, Trump said this, Trump did that. But last time I checked, Donald Trump's still not the president yet.
Thank you.
Like Joe Biden is in office for another 6 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I have the opportunity to meet Doug Burgum, who was obviously governor in the Dakotas, was here for the Trump Force 47 meetings. This guy will get the gig, and that's Interior Department. And that's really the department that oversees exactly what we're talking about. He really knows his stuff and he cares about the environment, but he will be fantastic in this job. And that's just it, that we have people currently in the current Biden administration, as well as the local and state level Democrats in California. I just feel that they didn't know what they were doing. And they were so distracted and had their eye off the ball. All of this stuff matters. The managers and the leadership, it just matters. And so it's unfortunate to me that we have to make it political. But I'm just saying, at this point in time, look at our country right now. Look at the people in the Carolinas who had 17-degree weather, and they were in line for like 3 miles trying to get a propane tank in their temporary RV and begging FEMA to continue on with the Biden administration because there's no game plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just this administration will go down as the most disastrous. And that's why I think only the Carter administration, who was in the past thought of as the worst, I don't think they'll be thought of as the worst.
Yeah, I'm a big
this one.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in less is more. This is another reason why we need like an organization like DOGE, the Department of Government and Efficiency, because we have countless people with countless job titles, and you have all these people that are making these bloated salaries. So you would think they would have all of their I's dotted and their T's crossed. Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of these things where there's too many cooks in the kitchen and nothing gets accomplished. That's why I really do believe that's why, you know, locally at the state level, at the federal level, we got to get and, you know, Gavin Newsom talking about red tape and now he's going to lift the red tape temporarily. Well, wait a minute. If you're anti-red tape, Gavin, then lift it permanently. We don't just do this on a temporary basis because you had a disaster. There's just too many people that don't have the answers, that are being paid to have the answers, and then they give us spin, and they give us cliches, and they give us buzzwords.
Cut 21 here. Gavin Newsom says that the Biden administration stepped up in a way that the American president should step up. Cut 21, go.
President Biden, last time I saw you in the Palisades on Wednesday, right after this fire started, you were on the phone at the side of the road trying to reach President Biden. Subsequent to that, he pledged 100% of the disaster recovery relief for the next 6 months. Is that enough?
Well, it's significant. I mean, in fact, when I was on the phone, you saw me on the phone, I was trying to get the satellite to phone work. I asked for 90%.
Fake call.
And he said, no, I'm going to do 100%. It was a big deal. 180 days is a big deal. But he also had just provided the major disaster declaration, and we did the press conference the next day. And that is profoundly significant because that's individual assistance, disasterassistance.gov. People should go to disasterassistance.gov and start filling out applications, get that immediate relief, and then get longer and medium-term relief. But no. He stepped up in a way that an American president should step up, and I couldn't be more proud of him. That's not a political statement. That's not because I'm a Democrat saying that.
Oh, yeah.
It's because I'm a human being trying to help other human beings in the most extreme elements, in the most difficult time of their life.
Okay. Well, the last time I recall, Joe was in California talking about the birth of his great-granddaughter or great-grandson. I'm a G-pop. Right. And here's the other thing I would like to know, because you talk about donations and you talk about the Red Cross ads that we've seen, especially throughout the broadcasts of the football games over the weekend. And you heard there the 90% to 100% for 6 months. It's going to be very interesting to track, based on what is available for public information, the amount of money that goes to those southern red states from the hurricane. Remember, we talked about FEMA and the funds drying up versus what's going on financially and what will be allocated for Los Angeles and the Pacific Palisades area. You've got poor people on the North Carolina, the western portion of the state versus, and I'm not saying they shouldn't receive help, and I don't wish this upon them, yeah. You know, the Hollywood, the elitists, you know, but the reality is they have more resources available to them to move on with their life quicker than, and that's not their fault. I'm a capitalist, get whatever you can, good for you, you've earned it, even if you didn't earn it, that's the system. But I want to track and be able to see, and I'd be interested to see what the watchdog reporters or even just the regular journalists that do the digging to find out how much money this area gets versus Florida, Carolina, Georgia, and any other state that was impacted this past fall. We got to stay up on that.
They're saying that, depending on who you look at, there's a science site that's saying that Hurricane Helene delivered $250 billion in damages to the southeastern United States, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina in particular. As of this moment, it looks like the L.A. fire, $150 billion in damages.
Okay.
And so I had seen over the weekend, it was really awful, and they were trying to help people who were, you know, lost everything in the Carolinas, and especially in the western part of North Carolina that you referenced, Nick, where they were given RVs that need propane tanks, mm-hmm. ran out of propane, and at the same time they ran out of the propane, so they were in line for miles just trying to get a propane tank for heat that night with 17, 20 degree weather, and then on top of it not getting the updated FEMA and begging for more, and then seeing all the coverage of California and saying,
right,
it sure feels like California is getting a lot more media coverage than the Carolinas ever did.
Okay. So LA, $150 billion, and the greater southeast area, $250 billion. Just generally looking at it, that seems about right. LA is getting about two-thirds of it, of what the Carolinas and Georgia got.
But that's so far.
So far.
I mean, the LA fires that are going to, unfortunately, they're bracing for the winds to pick up this week.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about the assessed damages so far. And by the way, one of my sources is a site called science.org. It's not a political, you know what I mean? It's a science source, but there are others as well. And even MSNBC talked about the, you know, I'm looking at, they would concur with the $250 billion damage number in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, what we're hearing from those regions is that they're claiming, some of them, that the Biden administration has forgotten them.
Okay.
I mean, that's the claim over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
California has some big things happening in the next couple of years. How does Gavin Newsom plan to clean up the area? This is cut 8, Phil. Go.
Over the course of the next several years, Los Angeles will be host to the World Cup, and then the Super Bowl, and then the Olympics.
Yeah.
With this rebuilding effort needing to take place, is LA going to be ready for all of those global events?
My humble position, and it's not just being naively optimistic,
that only reinforces the imperative moving quickly, doing in the spirit of collaboration and cooperation. President of the United States, Donald Trump, to his credit, was helpful in getting the Olympics to the United States of America, to get it down here in L.A. We thank him for that. This is an opportunity for him to shine, for this country to shine, for California and this community to shine. The opportunity with all of that and all that opportunity and that pride and spirit that comes from not just hosting those three iconic games and venues, but also the opportunity, I think, to rebuild at the same time. And that's why we're already organizing a Marshall Plan. We already have a team of looking and reimagining LA 2.0. And we're making sure everyone's included, not just the folks on the coast, people here that were ravaged by this disaster.
You just said you're organizing a Marshall Plan for the rebuilding of California. What is that Marshall Plan? Tell us about this Marshall Plan.
We're just starting to lay out. I mean, we're still fighting these fires. So we're already talking to city leaders. We're already talking to civic leaders. We're already talking to business leaders. With nonprofits, we're talking to labor leaders. We're starting to organize how we can put together a collection of individuals on philanthropy for recovery, how we can organize the region, how we can make sure that we are seeking federal assistance for the Olympics more broadly, but also federal assistance for the recovery efforts, and how we can galvanize the community with folks that love this community to really develop a mindset so that at scale, we're dealing with the scope of this tragedy and responding to it at scale with efficiency, like the executive order I talked about, time value of delivering projects, addressing building codes, addressing permitting issues, and moving forward to rebuilding and being more resilient.
Is it me, or is it just a little odd seeing those two standing there in that setting, yeah, doing that interview? It's just, it's a weird...
I can't get past his hand movement.
Yeah, he's banging his...
It's like he was coached by somebody who's... Yeah. It's unnatural.
I know. It's the same guy that coached DeSantis up, probably.
But I love... First of all, I love what you said, that there's something off,
yeah,
to you, and I love that you said that, because there's just this feeling where, you know, this guy is talking about, I don't know, emboldening, and I don't know what the heck he's saying. But he's not really dealing with the crisis, the deadly crisis that surrounds him in ashes. It looks like a war zone. And so it just feels like so disingenuous and disconnected from just the devastation. And so it doesn't. And then, you know, as far as Governor DeSantis, think about how quickly he was able to, you know, begin to recover.
Mustard.
And think about that, and not just him, but his legislature. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they were mobilized in a quick way,
yeah,
and they weren't talking about in Florida and the southern states. I'll just say this. My sister went down there with her church. People were immediately saying, what can we do? What can the churches do? I'm not saying that's not happening in California, but that was a headliner, if you will. And in California, what you're seeing with a lot of Democrats is, well, what's the government going to do? I'm just going to sit on my... The what used to be my doorstep that's ashes, and some of these people are millionaires who've, and it's tragic, it's horrible, but they're saying, well, I'm just waiting for the government. And so there's a mentality to it as well that I'm witnessing, not with everybody, but it just feels like in the South and in Florida, you saw people, remember those independent people, pilots and so on, who were being told by FEMA, no, don't even try to help, we're gonna and so there is this feeling of, I think, in California, well, you know, now that the Democrats have completely allegedly or apparently mismanaged the entire system and not updated an antiquated system, and they didn't do much, and they know they have wildfires, quite frankly, firefighters standing there watching thousands of acres burn, and they don't have water or water pressure, and now they go, whoop, well, what are you going to give us, federal government, which means you and me? So if you think you're not impacted by this, we all pay.
How about Newsom there at least giving credit to Trump for bringing whatever sporting events he was talking about? I guess
the Olympics.
The Olympics, the World Cup, the Super Bowl, all scheduled in the rotation and the cycle, so to speak, of the big events. But, I mean, I think he's the president, so obviously he's got to, you know, be involved in this. But Trump is Hollywood, right? He is entertainment. So he's probably going to take, I would just be willing to go out on a limb and say, he's going to have more of a vested interest in Los Angeles than Joe Biden did in East Palestine, Ohio.
Not that East Palestine versus Los Angeles is apples to apples. It's a totally different venue, different population, different numbers, economies, things like that. But, you know, to me, I'm still blown away. Forget the stuff in the fall with the hurricanes. The East Palestine thing just never sat well with me. I mean, and I know it's a train derailment. They happen all the time. That one was different. And that was very, very poorly handled from the Biden administration from an optics standpoint.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie weighed in on the...
Keyword weighed in.
On Gavin Newsom.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
And his response to the wildfires. Got 22, Phil, go.
How you doing, Governor Christie? Governor Christie, is Governor Newsom, is he in trouble right now? Do you handle something like this before?
You know what?
Yeah.
You got to communicate the truth to your people and let them know how you're going to fix the problems. If he does that,
he can overcome
it. He's doing his job.
Okay.
If he doesn't, he's God.
Right. Do you think the people are going to forgive him at some point after all they've gone through?
We're a very forgiving country.
Okay. Thank you so much, Governor.
That right there, folks, is the fastest I've ever seen Chris Christie moving. I mean, he was skedaddling through. Was that LAX that he was at?
Yeah.
Whatever airport with that little rolling bag, nice little orange tie. I'm a big fan of the orange tie. The only thing, you know, is interesting there is, you know, I do agree with him at the end. We are a very forgiving country. You know, you think about all the tragedies. You go back to 9/11. You go back to, you know, injustices in this country. I mean, some of them get drudged up all the time. Not saying everybody forgives. Certainly, you don't have to forget. But I do think there is a difference between never forgetting versus forgiving. So I don't have much else to say about Chris Christie there, other than the fact that he was really moving.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. If you're watching right now, please remember to hit the thumbs up button, hit the like button, and if you haven't done so, please hit the subscribe button. It's all free. Thank you for joining us every morning, every day on 1210WPHT, the YouTube chat. You can follow along with what we do at home with all these videos. We put a lot of work and effort into this, so we appreciate that our hard work does not go unnoticed. Biden gave a speech, press conference the other day, and he said that he could have won the 2024 election. He also said Kamala could have won the 20. I mean, does he not remember that Kamala actually ran?
I saw
and
this.
Didn't win.
I think Kamala, if Kamala was given a chance, she could have done it.
The opposite of winning, she lost. So I don't know what he's talking about here.
Maybe he thinks Newsom ran? I don't know.
What do you call him, Nick? Puddin' Brain?
Puddin' Brain.
Roll it.
Mr. President, do you regret your decision to run for re-election? Do you think that made it easier for your predecessor to now become your successor?
I don't think so. I think I would have beaten Trump, could have beaten Trump, and I think that Kamala could have beaten Trump, would have beaten Trump.
What?
It wasn't about... I thought it was important to unify the party. And when the party was worried about whether or not I was going to be able to move, I thought, even though I thought I could win again, I thought it was better to unify the party. And it was the greatest honor in my life to be President of the United States, but I didn't want to be one who caused a party that wasn't unified to lose an election. And that's why I stepped aside, but I was confident she could win.
You think she should run again?
Madam Vice President, Joe thinks that if you were given the chance, you could have won. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Joe Biden was not going to win. And it's easy to say that, hindsight being 2020, Monday morning quarterbacking. But Joe and Kamala were linked together. They were joined together at the hip. They were going to lose regardless. But look, do I think that Joe actually believes that genuinely? Yeah, I think he believes he would have defeated Trump.
What's interesting to me is not what I think, and I agree with you that there's no shot Joe Biden would have beaten Trump. But what I find interesting about this is that I think it was the Pod Save America guys, and you know they're all former Obama officials, so they have, you know, somebody leaked out that their internal polling on Biden was like tenfold worse than Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Like he would have gotten blown out even worse than she did.
Oh, no question. I mean, if you look at the total raw numbers for the popular vote, what was it, 78 million to 76 or something like that? There's no chance that Joe would have gotten more votes than Kamala.
Yep.
No chance. He would have been in the 60 millions.
Yep.
I think you're right about that.
Bill Maher talked, you know, he's not doing stand-up anymore. He's just going to do his podcast and his HBO show.
Yeah. He's downgrading to two jobs.
He was interviewed recently, and he said that if the Democrat Party does not adapt, they could become politically extinct. Roll it.
Increasing rights for people who have been marginalized, I'm all for that. But they don't know when to stop. You know, and that's what the message of the electorate was, you know, that the Democrats are all for the oppressed. And what the electorate was saying was, you know what's oppressing me? The price of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. That's what's oppressing me. Are there still racists in this country? Of course. Is that still an issue? Yes, it is. But the Democrats have to come to Jesus on that issue and a number of issues where obviously the fact that Donald Trump won more minority votes than I think any Republican since Nixon or before, that should tell you a lot. It's more about class now. And when they get on that page, when they have someone who comes up to the, I always say, let's live in the year we're living in, I think that party will do better. As of now, I don't see it in the Democratic Party. I see them still digging the hole deeper. But we'll see. I think parties basically want to survive, as all organisms do. But the Democrats could go the way of the Whigs.
Mm.
You know, wow. Parties do die off when they don't adapt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen because I think, again, they do want to live, as they say in Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's up to them.
You know, he makes a really good point there where I think if I can expound upon and further what he was implying, it's not about race, it's about class. And there are far more of us as Americans that generally fall into the same bucket, right? The same class. An overwhelming majority of us live paycheck to paycheck. I think it was Kamala Harris that actually threw out the stat. I think it was 76% of Americans cannot afford an unexpected expense of over $400. I mean, that should tell you in a nutshell that most of us are kind of in the same boat. So it's not about your skin color. It's about green. It's about all of us kind of in the same economic bracket, so to speak. And I don't know if they will go extinct. They'll survive with that left-wing progressive nonsense in some pockets. Portland, Oregon, Seattle, perhaps even L.A., perhaps even L.A. after these wildfires. Maybe they'll elect another progressive after Karen Bass. But nationally, big-time elections, the only way Democrats are going to get back onto a winning track and path is at minimum returning to their classic liberal roots, if not even further right towards being more moderate, which is why I actually think Fetterman has been saying a lot of things that resonate with the everyday folk.
Mm-hmm. At his meeting at Mar-a-Lago, by the way.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Trump called him. The Washington Examiner had an exclusive. I don't know if they had audio or if it's just print, but the Washington Examiner had quoted Trump as saying they met for over an hour, and he's a common sense person. He's not liberal or conservative. He's just a common sense person, which is beautiful. That, according to, that's the Trump quote via the Washington Examiner.
I don't know if I agree with Fetterman's not liberal or conservative. He's just common sense. He's definitely left of center.
He says it was, Trump said it was fascinating, and his wife, Giselle, is lovely.
I think that's the way to characterize Trump. He's not left, he's right, he's common sense. I think we got the participants and the descriptions wrong. Fetterman is still certainly liberal. I just don't think he's as damn near as progressive as he was trying to run on 3 years ago, because I think he's even following a stroke, he's smart enough to realize that this left-wing stuff is about to fall by the wayside, and he's positioning himself as the common sense guy on the left for his own future political gain. Mm-hmm. That's just my read on it.
I think Fetterman was underestimated, and he also is, I think, a more astute politician than people gave him credit for because of the hoodie and all of that. But this guy's, he was raised with, he went to Harvard, and he is a bright guy. And I think he reads the room very well. And the fact that he's the first Democrat, first of all, he signed up, weeks ago to a Truth Social account. First one to go on Truth Social. He gets invited by Trump. Lets the Trump people know he'd love to go to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring. This is a politically astute guy.
Well, so let me ask you the big picture question here. And I don't think I've heard this asked at all. So you have your left wing. You have your, quote, right wing. But now we're getting to the point. I mean, think about all of the, we'll call them transactions in the last couple of months. You've got Bobby Kennedy ditching the Democrats to join Trump. You've got Elon Musk flipping sides. Tulsi Gabbard flipping sides. You've also had guys like Chris Christie who are anti-Trumpers. Yes, rhinos. Yes, moderates. Whatever. Sliding more back to the center. Even at times, it seems like borderline on the left. Now you have Fetterman. Are we getting to the point where the lines are so blurred? And is that what's the most successful blueprint for any of these individuals moving forward, seeking office and seeking power? Because it seems to me like, especially in this format for what we do. Yeah, we talk politics and news, but we've talked, more about social issues, cultural issues. We talk entertainment. We talk sports. Because a lot of times those institutions cross lines and get political, and vice versa. Political crosses lines into other categories. Is that where we're heading with our political ecosphere in general in this country? I mean, you're seeing a rise in populism. It's not necessarily conservatism. I mean, we heard our guy in Canada as he's chomping on his apple. He's like, I don't know what left or right is. You make that stuff up. I'm just common sense. Is it a race right now between the left and the right to be more common sense moving forward for the future of their own party? I think that's the question people have to answer.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me that when we look at the age of invention, when you think about Elon Musk, there's a connection to it. And even it goes back to here in Philadelphia with Ben Franklin, the inventor, and the age of technology, if you will, the media. And then it often coincides, doesn't it, when you think about people wanting freedom and the battle over technology, data, power. That's really where this is. And so I think we're seeing a major shift and an evolution of our political parties. But it's thanks to the fact, in my opinion, that everyday citizens, and I think Democrats were shocked by this, but many groups that they didn't see coming just looked at Trump and for different reasons came to the same conclusion that he's the guy, he's the answer. And he still is looked upon as an outsider. Somebody who is more common sense, somebody who will fight for the working person, and as well, somebody who's going to do the basics, which is the issue of keeping, I'll say, secure, whether it's security dealing with people coming over the border, security dealing with outside threats, even cyber threats, security dealing with the protection of girls and women in a very basic way in your bathroom, your daughter's bathroom or locker room. So I think these are some of the themes, and many of them Democrats just did not see this coming. I think it's also significant that when you look at the Hispanic vote in America, and the Hispanic voters went for Trump in much bigger numbers than anybody anticipated. So I think all of this matters. I think it's a good thing whenever we push the reset button and let career politicians on both sides know that we see them, we're on to them.
Mm-hmm.
Two men were arrested at Vice President Kamala Harris's Los Angeles home after police had received a call about a potential break-in. Here's the news report, courtesy of KTLA 5 in Los Angeles. Roll it.
PD responded to a burglary call this morning about 4:30. This was at the home of Vice President Kamala Harris. Two men dressed all in black, they were detained by police and then questioned, but then later released. The Secret Service also responding to that same call. Those two men were inside the evacuation zone while the curfew was in effect. Now, it's unclear if anybody was actually home at the time of that call.
Darlene, Madam Vice President, have you returned the ballot to California, and how did you vote on Prop 36?
So I have, my ballot is on its way to California, and I'm going to trust the system that it will arrive there. And I am not going to talk about the vote on that because, honestly, it's the Sunday before the election, and I don't intend to create an endorsement one way or another around it. So, but I did vote.
So two questions here. How is it that you can break in, I guess the term was break in, burglarize,
yes, whatever.
How do you still get released?
A potential break-in.
A potential break-in. Okay. I'd like to know what a potential, what qualifies as a potential break-in. You either attempt a break-in or you were not involved in any way, shape, or form. I mean, where were you? Sitting on the curb smoking a heater saying, I'm thinking about going in, but I haven't officially decided to physically approach the gate. Secondly, doesn't she have Secret Service protection? She's still the current sitting vice president. You know, I mean, I don't root for anything against, Biden or Kamala Harris. But, man, they were able to get potentially that close to the vice president? What's going on here? You know, we talked about it from the Trump angle, right?
Yeah.
In Butler and the golf course. A couple of random schmucks in L.A. able to possibly get into the Harris Fortress. And where's Dougie? Does he have the crowbar ready? The Louisville Slugger?
I mean, assuming they're in D.C. and not here, right? Or not in.
Well, that was. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
So
that
there was
she
nobody.
Was home.
Okay,
yeah.
So there was nobody present.
No.
So they don't keep those individuals' homes secured even when they're not present? I would have figured there would have at least be one guard.
Remember,
maybe.
You know, to your point, remember Nancy Pelosi's home in San Francisco, they did have, basically doorbell cameras and cameras through video surveillance.
Right.
But those individuals were back in D.C. when, unless the speaker at the time was in her home, then she did have somebody with her physically.
Yeah. But Paul Pelosi did not have any.
No.
Right.
But Paul, the husband of the House Speaker at the time, so he did have the video. The people were supposed to be video monitoring, live monitoring the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So that's what I would imagine. That's how I imagine, because it was a call that reported the potential burglary. So I'm inferring this. I don't know. But I'm inferring that because it is monitored by, security in D.C., because she's the Veep, that they then would call the LAPD, who then went to the house and detained these individuals.
Well, we know money doesn't go far in L.A., and the vice president is not nearly as compensated as highly as the water czar of Los Angeles, right? The water czar makes $750,000.
Dang.
Kamala's making, what, $250,000? $300,000? I wonder how much square footage she has. Can't be that much in L.A. It doesn't go too far.
I have. So J.D. Vance was on Fox News Sunday, and Christopher Wray was on 60 Minutes. I have both of those, but we should probably take a break and do more on the other side. I have so much more, as I usually do on a Monday from a long weekend here.
My favorite installment. Yes. The Monday is always my favorite. All right, we'll get to that on the other side, as well as Harry Mays is going to join us in about 20 or 25 minutes to talk about the Eagles' playoff victory. Also, a Dawn Stenzel and Big Three on the way. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
But first, I got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're featuring the very latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. With thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across Piazza's Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships, Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.